Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love and your mercy and the generosity of each of those. You have lavished upon us love, mercy, and grace in such a great measure, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for the mercy and grace that you're showing to us right now in this moment and sharing with us your word. You, Lord, have not left us alone, but have given us guidance all throughout our lives. And we pray this day that our hearts and minds are open to receive that and to use it for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's a mouthful, it's just read. How many of you are familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, or at least somewhat familiar with it? Have you heard of Hebrews chapter 11 is known by another name called the Faith Hall of Fame. It talks about the faith of different people throughout Israel's history. Before we got to the part where we read about, it talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Talked a little more about Moses and about how they lived out their faith, so on and so forth. Faith is a very well-known word within the life of the church. Here's one of the pastor's stupid questions. Has anyone ever heard, anyone ever not heard of the word faith before? I mean, it's something we talk about all the time. Something I think, frankly, in some regards, we take for granted. We have within our church, not just our church, but church in general, what I like to call faith language, or church language. Language, words that we know and we use a lot, but isn't really used all that much outside of church. Do you know what the word stewardship means? And being a good steward of something. That word isn't used very much outside the church. How about redemption, salvation, forgiveness? All these words are like church language. They're useful for us. They're well known to us. We use them a lot, but they're not used much outside. Faith is that word. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 has a great definition of faith. Faith Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is knowing that what God said happened will happen. Faith is knowing that what is to come will come. And what has happened, as Jesus says it happened, did happen. Faith. Now, we know of faith by another word, believing. Probably the most memorized verse in Scripture would be arguably John 3:16. So together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know it, and it's a great scripture. It's kind of the gospel in a nutshell. Talks about faith. Talks about believing in Jesus in order that we may be saved. We have faith. We have faith in the little things in life. We have faith that the sun will rise tomorrow. We have faith that the moon will rise after it. We have faith that on April 15th, our taxes are due. We have faith on these things because we can count on them. They happen again and again, over and over without fail. But we also have faith about the big things. We have faith that Jesus loves us. We have faith that Jesus walks with us. We have faith that when things bad happen in our lives, Christ will see us through. We have this faith because someone taught us about it. And we still have this faith because it's happened over and over. God has helped and seen us through tough things. It doesn't mean we've lived a life without difficulties. It doesn't mean that no matter how hard we try to do the right thing, sometimes we do the wrong thing. But we know that Christ is with us and has always been with us. Now, that's faith. But oftentimes when we speak about our faith, the language we use is very individual. It's very us. It's very our faith. Affects our lives in a particular way. My faith has seen me through a lot of different things. But the one thing I love about Christianity is that Christianity is not an individualistic religion. It's not an individualistic belief. When God created us, God did not create us just for ourselves, but God created us for one another. It said that when Adam was created, Adam was lonely. And God tried to make him happy with all the animals of the earth, and that didn't work. So God created Eve for Adam. And in Eve, Adam found companionship. And so with one another, we were created for relationship. We were created to help one another, to support one another, to be there with one another. Now, I know better than many people, I know as well as any people, that there are times where I need to be by myself. I just need that time alone to recharge my batteries, to sit and listen to music, to read a book, to watch TV, and just relax. But ultimately, I need people. I need the companionship. I need help. I can't go through this life by myself. And faith was created not for the individual, but faith was created for the group. Faith was created for relationships. John Calvin, whose commentary I read in preparation for this, pointed out something. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were in dry land. Now, think about it for a moment. Think about being one of those people in Israel, coming up to the Red Sea and seeing Egypt at your back. What are you going to feel? Fear. You're about to die. You're about to get captured. You're about to go back to your life as slavery. Moses comes up and has the audacity to say, just trust in God. Have faith. God will get us through. All right, Moses, whatever you say. And then all of a sudden, Moses raised his hands and the Red Sea parts, right? And then they look down and there's a path before them on dry ground. Now imagine one of those people, being one of those people in Israel, passing through the Red Sea and seeing on your right hand, on your left hand, a wall of water, and on your right hand, a wall of water. Now imagine someone telling you that your faith is required to keep that water up. If you doubt for even a moment, the water's going to come crashing down and drown all of you. Now, nobody said that. And thank goodness. Because you think everybody in Israel had the faith to believe that that water was going to stay up? I don't think so. I think there were people who were passing through that wall of water with fear and trepidation, looking at that wall thinking, oh my goodness, I hope it stays up just a little bit longer, just long enough to get me through. I bet you there were people who did not even see the wall of water. They grabbed hold of the person in front of them, closed their eyes tight, and never opened again until they made it through the other side. But faith, it wasn't the people's faith that kept that wall of water up. It was Moses' faith and God's action that kept that water up. Now, what does that mean for us? It means that our faith that we have in our lives does not just affect our lives, but also affects the lives of the people around us. We are not islands unto ourselves. Our lives that we live help interact with those around us. Now, here's an example. My grandmother loved the Lord very much. She had faith in God that was fantastic. She raised her kids to know Christ, to pray every day in the morning, to say grace before their meals. Her faith and the way that she lived it affected the lives of my father, who had faith in God, and that faith affected my life. And because he lived his faith in the way that he did, my faith that I have in Christ, in some small way, affects your life. Our faith branches out and touches the lives of those around us. The way that we live affects the lives that we encounter. That is terrifying. And it's terrifying for this reason. I don't know if you saw me pull in, but I'm driving Stephanie's car today because she has the van camping. Stephanie got a new car recently, 2007 Chevy Malibu, 151 miles. Its name is Grandpa Bob. And Grandpa Bob is a pretty nondescript car. It's just tan. It's easy to miss. Just like, opposite of what her last car was, the bright green Mazda 2. I mean, you knew where she was because almost no one else had that car. But Grandpa Bob fits in, and you can miss it easily. She doesn't like fitting in, so she put on the back of Grandpa Bob a rainbow sticker of a pit bull in honor of our dog Goose, and a green monkey because she loves monkeys. Now, when you see the stickers on the car, you know that that's her car. I don't like stickers on my car. I like to fit in. I'm an awful driver, and I don't want people to say, "Oh, that's Pastor Justin's car." That's Pastor Justin who just cut me off. That's Pastor Justin who's riding my tail because I'm going the speed. I don't want that. So one day I go out to my van and there's a green sticker on the back of my car. Faith touches the lives of other people. And that's terrifying because we don't live our faith perfectly. We mess up. We doubt. We have moments in our lives of fear. I'm 39 right now, and in a couple weeks I'll be 40 years old, And I'm pretty sure that I am experiencing the midlife crisis. I think about death all the time. I know I'm healthy, I'm young-ish, and I shouldn't be worrying about it. But it's there. And I think, I relate to the guy in the Bible. Remember the brought his son to Jesus in order to be healed from a demon he was possessed by. And he asked his disciples to do it, and his disciples couldn't. And Jesus said, you have to believe in order for this demon to be healed. And the man's response, remember his response? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's my faith. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. Help me in my moments of doubt. I believe, Lord Jesus, help me when I don't believe, when I'm weak. Now, here's the great thing. Going back to our scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, when he talks about the Jericho and the wall falling and passing through the Red Sea, he says, and what more should I say? Remember, this is the Faith Hall of Fame. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David. And I love these people that he talked about, because they were all people who trusted in God and had faith that what God said God would do. But all of these people had some major issues. My favorite is Gideon. God came to Gideon one day when Gideon was working in a field. And God said to Gideon, he said this, Gideon, I want you to lead my people, and I want you to rout this foreign, I think it was the Philistines, I don't remember at the time. I want you to rout the Philistines and totally destroy them so that Israel can be a free nation again. And Gideon said, are you sure that you're really God? Because if you're not, I don't want to do this. And so Gideon said to God, all right, Lord, I'll do this if you do something for me. And he took out a wool fleece. And he said to God, Lord, I'll do this if this wool fleece, I'll set it out outside, if when I wake up in the morning that there is dew on top of the wool fleece and no dew on the grass below it. And God said, okay, I'll do that for you. And so Gideon went to bed and he woke up in the morning, checked the wool fleece, and indeed there was dew on top of the wool fleece and no dew under the grass. And Gideon said, well done, Lord. Well done. Now, about that thing you told me to do, I have one more test for you. This wool fleece, I'm going to lay it out again in the morning. If there's dew on the grass below the wool fleece, but no dew on the wool fleece, then I'll believe you. And so Gideon woke up in the morning, and indeed, that's the way that it was. This is not the characteristic of a man with great faith. The characteristic of a man who needs a little proof. And there's more. David was a man after God's own heart, but David messed up. He had a life, he was a lousy husband, and he was a lousy father. There's Jephthah, who trusted in God, but then when he came home, he made a rash promise that cost him the life of his daughter. There was Samson, who was strong and powerful, but had issues with lust and gave away his gift that God gave him in a heartbeat. These are people who made the Faith Hall of Fame. I find that comforting because I'm a mess up too. But yet, God is powerful enough to use my faith, as small as it is, and as unreliable at times as it is, to touch the lives of other people. God can use us as a church. Doesn't matter how big, how small, how much money we have, whether a great amount or a small amount. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how young we are. God can use this church and the faith that is present here in order to touch the lives of others. Because have no mistake, if we live in faith, Trafford will feel it. Trafford will experience what it means to have faith in Christ if we have faith. Because we are not an island, nor should we try to be in this community. We're a part of it. And Christ will use that faith that we have in order to tell others about God. And I love that. As terrifying as that might be, I love that Christ uses us and will continue to use us.